the first 10 verses of Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Good morning. That passage is a prayer of confession and repentance on the part of David. And it reminds us of a sad time in his life. You see, David's sin and the consequences of that sin shaped his family for a long time. If you read on in the story of David and trace his family, we find the sadness of his sin and its consequences shaping that family. And last week we began a series talking about shaping our families. How do we build our families? How do we shape them? Our marriage, our parent-child relationships. And the way we do it that we're suggesting is by theology. And that's the theme of this series. A family shaped by theology. Theology is simply the truth about God, who He is, His works, His plans, His purposes, His will. That's theology. The truth about God. And in this series, we're talking about different truths concerning God, theology, that should be playing a role in the shaping of our families. And so each week we're talking about a different truth about God and then how we can use that to shape our families and our marriages. Last week we simply were reminded that God is the creator of marriage. He's the creator of us. And when He created marriage, when He created the family, He put together a game plan. And it's in His playbook, the Bible. He lays out for us how to do family, how to do marriage. And so last week, we simply talked about following the game plan. Following the game plan. Is anybody still in awe of what happened here last Sunday? Or have you just kind of let it pass on by and forgotten about it? Do you realize that this front was full of men publicly declaring that they would step up and lead their families in following God's game plan? Are you still in awe of that? Men, now the work starts. Now we're going to go into some of the specific things that we need to lead our families in. And we need to set the pace in. Last week it was following the game plan. Today it's taking out the garbage. I got so excited last week I forgot something. There was a statement at the bottom of our study sheet. When I saw these guys up here and prayed for them, everything else just slipped by. And I just want to read that in case you didn't. It says our greatest fear should not be a failure. You know, that is one of the number one fears of men. Failure. D.L. Moody said, our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter. Men, we know how to succeed. Most of us are pretty good at it. And we have experienced success in a number of areas of life, whether it's work, recreation, other skills and talents, athletics. We know what it's like to succeed. But we need to be afraid of succeeding in the things that really don't matter and leaving behind the things that matter. And I tell you what, family and marriage matter. And so we're going to continue to talk about shaping the family by theology. And I'm sorry, guys, but I'm going to just keep drumming it in. You and I have to set the pace. God has called us to lead in this. So let's pray, and then we'll talk about taking out the garbage. Our Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. Thank you for all that you've sent out. Thank you, Father, that you are the creator of marriage, the creator of family, and you haven't left us to just try to do it on our own. You have given us a very clear game plan, your will for how the family and marriage should function that would make it work. And it has to do with you, who you are, your purposes. And Lord, I pray that, again, you would minister to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. The theology that we're going to think about today that should be shaping our families is the holiness of God. You have one of the scriptures that points us that direction on your study sheet. Notice from 1 Peter chapter 1, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Marriage and family fit under all you do, right? Okay? So, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. That's a truth about God. Now, last summer we spent weeks talking about that. God is holy. That's theology, right? That's theology. That's who he is. It's what he is. It's what he's about. And not only is he holy, but he says here in other places, because I'm holy, I want my people to be holy in everything they do. Holiness is to shape our lives. And in particular, holiness is to shape our families and our marriages. Because God is holy. I have some good news. There are no marriage problems or family problems. They do not exist. Isn't that good news? You thought they did. Marriage problems and family problems do not exist. No such thing. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. There are personal sin problems that are revealed in marriage and in family. You see, when we call them marriage problems, we imply there's something wrong with marriage. And marriage causes problems. Not true. When we say we're having family problems, we're implying that the problem is the family, that somehow there are problems with family. Not true. What is true is that there are personal sin problems that we bring into marriage, and marriage brings them out. And there are personal sin problems that we bring into family, and family just reveals those. Sinners marry sinners every time. I kind of chuckle when I'm doing pre-marriage, and once in a while I hear a guy or a girl say, "He's perfect. She's the perfect one for me." Oh, do they have something to look forward to? Sinners marry sinners, right? Every individual who gets married brings some kind of sin issue, some kind of sin struggle, brings the flesh in to that marriage. And here's another one for you. Sinners give birth to sinners. Every time. So, we've got to stop talking about marriage problems and family problems and start talking about the real problems. Personal sin problems that just happen to be revealed in marriage and in the family. And we need to take out the garbage. What does that mean? Today, taking out the garbage in this message refers to being willing to address our personal sin issues that are harming our marriages and harming our families. That's taking out the garbage. Now, in a lot of our homes, that statement is heard often. Would you take out the garbage? Sometimes, as in the Hazel family, there's a please there. Carol assured me of that this morning. But many times, you'll hear that in the home, right? Take out the garbage. Please take out the garbage. Would somebody take out the garbage? And some common responses to that would be, first of all, denial. Someone will say, "There's no garbage, not much anyway." Or, "There's not enough to bother. Let's wait." So, denying the need to take out the garbage. Other times, there's blame in response to that statement, "Take out the garbage." And someone will say, "Well, that's their garbage. I didn't put it there. It's not my fault the can is full." And so we blame. And sometimes our response is to cover. We just take the cover and we hide the evidence. What garbage? And did you know we do the same thing when it comes to addressing our sin? The very sins that are harming our marriages, the very sins that are harming our family, we deny. Take a look at 1 John. 1 John. Verse 8. 1 John 1:8. "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." Verse 10. "If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives." People deny their sin. People deny the garbage that's in their life. People deny the fact that there could be something going on in them that's coming out in the marriage and coming out in the family and causing harm. And even when confronted about it, even when concern is expressed, they'll deny it. "I don't have a problem." Or they'll go to the next way of dealing with it. Blame. "I don't have a problem. It's her. I don't have a problem. It's him. It's the kids. It's my old-fashioned parents." We blame, right? And that's been going on since the Garden of Eden. You remember that in Genesis chapter 3 when God confronts Adam and Eve, asks them, "What did you do?" He knew. But he wanted to hear them give an answer. "What did you do? Did you do what I told you not to do?" And right away, what does Adam do? Blames Eve. "The woman you gave me. And then Eve blames the serpent. Everybody blamed. It's not me. Somebody else. And that happens in the family a lot. We even blame God. Proverbs 19:3. You know, man makes these foolish, sinful choices that start ruining his life, and he gets angry with God as though it's God's fault. And we blame God. And then, of course, there's the covering. The covering. Turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. This is back to David's situation. David tried to cover his sin. And here's what he says later in Psalm 32, verse 3. He says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity." Up to that point, many of you know the story. He tried to cover up his sin. The sin that would eventually shape his family. He tried to cover it up. And of course, the Bible says, your sins will find you out, right? Your sins will find you out. But we try to cover. We try to cover our sins. So, four questions I want to talk about when it comes to taking out the garbage, when it comes to addressing those personal sin problems that are really being revealed in our marriage, being revealed in our family, and are causing harm. The first question is this: what sins harm marriages and families? The answer, all of them. Take your pick. Sin harms marriages. Sin harms families. Truth. And what you have on your study sheet are eight passages, and we could have put more there. I want you to read through those passages sometime and record all the different sins that are mentioned or implied there. And then I want you to identify the sins that are present in your life and impacting your family and your marriage. I know that's a tough assignment. But if you're going to take out the garbage, if you're going to address sin, you've got to identify it first. And every sin that you will find mentioned in these scriptures that you list can harm families, can harm marriages. Let me just give you an idea of some of them you're going to find. Selfishness, pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, even rage, dishonesty, envy, greed, slander and cursing, disobedience, disrespect, rebellion, abusive speech, drunkenness, stealing, adultery, rudeness, favoritism, etc., etc., etc. You're going to find all of those sins mentioned. And if you think about it, every one of those sins can do harm to a marriage and do harm to a family. So, what sins harm the family? All of them. The thing we need to do is identify them. Which ones are presently harming ours? Second question: what are these sins doing to my family? Once you've identified what all those sins are, and some of them that are presently impacting your family relationships and marriage, then you want to think through, okay, what are they doing right now to my family? How specifically are these sins that I identified as present in our family? How are they harming our home? And actually think that through. It's harming our communication. It's keeping us from communicating at all. It's causing us, when we do communicate, to be tense and raise the voices and hurt each other with our words and our actions. It's causing the kids to stay away from home, not want to be around us. It's causing us to neglect the kids. It's causing us to say things to the kids that we regret. It's causing us to say things to our parents that we regret. And you can just go on and on and on. But identify, how are these sins that are present impacting our family? The third question, and this is important, where are these sins coming from? As you saw that long list of sins and you identified the ones that are present in your family and marriage right now, and you thought about how they are harming and how they are impacting your home, then you have to ask the question, okay, where are they coming from? Where are these sins that I've identified that are present, that are harming us, coming from? The answer is, look in the mirror. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. This is a hard truth for us. Matthew chapter 12, starting right in the middle of verse 34. Jesus says, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." Now that one is worth thinking about for a while. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Have you ever said anything in the context of your family relationships or marriage, and afterwards you realized what you said and you either thought or verbalized, where did that come from? Did I say that? You ever had that pop into your mind? Where did that come from? Did I really say that? How would Jesus answer those questions? He'd say, yes, you really did say that, and it came from your heart. And you can deny that all you want. But Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, a man speaks, a woman speaks, a child speaks. It didn't just happen. We know where it came from. It came from here. That's important to understand. He goes on in verse 35, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." So the idea is that as we go through life, we're storing up things in our heart, usually by what we're bringing in to our life, right? What we're taking in, and we're storing these things up in our heart. And whether they're good or evil, eventually they're going to come out. Because what comes out is what's already stored up. That's why I said when you get married, you bring stuff into the marriage, and the dynamics of a marriage relationship will eventually bring them out. It wasn't until I was 21 years old and had been married a year, and you may not even believe this, that I realized I was selfish. 21 years old, and I didn't know I was selfish, that I was self-centered. But it just took 1 year of marriage and some scripture that convicted me to realize I was a selfish man. Marriage didn't make me selfish. Janine had nothing to do with me being a self-centered person. I was self-centered. I brought it into the marriage. And the dynamics of marriage eventually revealed it. That's where it comes from. It's not a marriage problem. It's not a family problem. It's stuff coming from my heart. I brought it in to the home. I brought it into the marriage. And now it's coming out. And it's doing harm. Take a look at Luke chapter 6. Luke records pretty much the same teaching by Jesus. Luke chapter 6. In verse 43. Luke 6:43. Jesus says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks. Where's it coming from? The heart. How did it get there? I don't know. You know. There are many ways we can bring stuff in, good or bad. And eventually it's all going to come out. It comes from the heart. And then James chapter 4. Pretty much the same principle. James 4. He begins with a question that maybe you've asked about your marriage, you've asked about your family. He begins by asking, what causes fights and quarrels among you? You ever ask that question? Why are we always fighting? Why are we always arguing? James asks the same question. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Here's the answer. Don't they come from your desires that battle where? Within you. You want something, but don't get it. So you fight and quarrel. It's frustrated desires that are in us. And the way we respond to the frustrated desires is conflict and quarreling and arguing and all those things. So James is saying the same thing Jesus said. It comes from the heart. It comes from within. That's where it comes from. And that's so important. If we're going to take the garbage out, if we're going to address our sins that are being revealed in our family and marriage and harming it, I have to understand it's coming from me. Now, there's probably some stuff coming from my wife because she's stored up things in her heart and my kids. But I can't be concerned about that. I need to be concerned about my heart and what I'm contributing to the shaping of our family. And so I need to identify what those sins are in my heart and how they're harming and playing a part in impacting my family. And once I do, then the last question, how should I address those sins I've identified that are coming from me and causing harm? Proverbs 28 gives the answer. Proverbs 28. Verse 13, Proverbs 28, 13 and 14. Solomon says, he who conceals his sins does not profit. So, just putting the cover on the garbage. Just denying that there is anything there. Blaming the others in the family for what's going on. That is not going to make things better. You won't prosper. You won't profit. So he says, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. To confess is to take ownership, to assume responsibility for what you are contributing, for the sin that's coming out in your life in the form of words or actions. To be willing to take ownership of them. Confess them. And then he says, and to renounce them. Turn from them. Turn your back on them. Repent. Say no to them. Whoever confesses and renounces his sins finds mercy. And then Solomon says, blessed is the man who always fears the Lord, but he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. If we choose to deny the garbage in our life that's harming our family, if we choose to blame the others in the family for what's happening, if we choose to try and cover up what's going on in our hearts that's causing problems, Solomon says, you're going to fall into trouble. And what's happening is just going to continue. And the consequences will continue. Instead, confess and renounce. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful to forgive. Ephesians chapter 4, if you would turn there. Ephesians 4. In taking out the garbage in our lives that's harming our marriage relationship and our family relationships, the confession is a wonderful thing. The renouncing of that sin is a wonderful thing because it brings forgiveness, it brings mercy, it brings a fresh start. But there's some action that needs to take place then. And Paul describes it in Ephesians 4, and he uses the terms putting off and putting on. And he goes through this whole list of how we need to be putting off these sinful things that cause problems. We're to be putting them off, getting rid of them. But it doesn't stop there, does it? He goes on to say, and put on these things. We have to be replacing these sins that we're putting off. When we take out the garbage, we got to make sure that we put back a nice clean garbage can with a nice new bag. Maybe even one that smells nice. You know, we've got to replace it. And so he says, put off the dishonesty that harms any marriage, right? That harms any family. And then he says, put on truth. Replace it with speaking truth to your spouse and to your parents. He talks about anger. He says, put off that sinful anger that you express in all these sinful ways and replace it with a prompt addressing of your anger, even before you go to bed. Deal with it. So Satan doesn't take that anger and use it in your family and your marriage. And he talks about stealing. He talks about unwholesome speech. Put it off and replace it with good speech that builds people up. Put away bitterness, he says. Replace it with forgiveness. That's how we address it. That's how we take out the garbage. We take ownership of the sin. We're contributing to what's going on in the family. And we renounce it. And we'll find mercy and forgiveness with God. And then we begin to actively keep putting it off and replacing it with the things that will help shape our marriage according to a holy God, according to holiness. And as you know, in your home, the taking out of the garbage has to be a regular thing, right? I mean, we don't just take out the garbage once, that's it for the rest of our marriage. There's some homes that look like that, but none here. We know that we have to keep, on a regular basis, taking out the garbage, addressing it, right? And that happens in our lives with sin. It has to be a regular thing. Identifying the sin that we're contributing that's harming our marriage, our relationship, and on a regular basis, dealing with it. Before it piles up. You don't want garbage to pile up. It's a lot bigger chore then, isn't it? Then you need a pickup. Then you need a dump truck. But if you just regularly take out the garbage, it's not as difficult. And it's the same thing in dealing with sin. Be sensitive. Be willing to address it promptly when you're aware of it. Don't let it pile up. It'll just make things worse, right? On the bottom of your sheet, and this is for you men who stood with me last week and made this declaration. Here's a reminder of that declaration. I know some of you guys wanted a copy of it. Here it is. This is the declaration you made publicly before God and before this congregation. So there it is for you to review. And my question for you men who made that commitment last week is this. How will you take the lead? in applying today's truth so that our families can be shaped by theology. How will you take the lead in taking out the garbage? How will you take the lead in being willing to identify the sins that are coming from your heart and causing harm to your marriage and causing harm to your family? How are you going to do that? Now, you're not going to deny anymore, right? You're not going to blame your wife, right? You're not going to blame the kids. You're not going to try and keep hidden, cover up those sins that you know are affecting your family. How are you going to follow through with that commitment to set the pace, to take the lead? Well, you're going to have to ask God to show you what the sins in your heart that are coming out are, and then you're going to have to take the steps to take out that garbage and deal with it. The confession, the renouncing, the putting off, the putting on. That's our role as men. Called by God to take the lead, to set the pace. What will that look like? And what could it lead to in your family? Have you ever buttoned your shirt wrong? Anybody ever experienced that? It can be embarrassing, can't it? How does that start? It starts with the first button, right? It always starts with the first button. I get the first button wrong. And then as I go on up, everyone follows and is wrong. Usually if you can start with the first button and get it right, everything falls into place, right? In the family, in marriage, it really helps to start right. And the place to start is theology. The truth about God, who He is. In this case, He's holy. The works of God. The will of God, which is, since I'm holy, He says, you be holy. If we can start there, it seems like everything else just kind of gets shaped properly. So we need to start with theology. Get that right. God is holy. And His will is that we be holy in all that we do, including marriage and family. Men, make sure you start right. Lead the way. Set the pace. Take out your garbage and see what happens in your family. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will, by your Spirit, let these thoughts, these scriptures we've looked at, remain in our hearts and on our minds until we act on them. Father, help us to look in the mirror, to think of ourselves, not to think of what others should do in our family. And Father, as we look in the mirror, I pray that you will help us identify what we're contributing to what's going on in our families that isn't good. And Lord, help us by your Spirit in us to address it, to take out that garbage and to become regular at that. Why? Because you're a holy God, Father. You're a holy God. And your will for us is to do family and marriage in holiness. And Lord, we can do it with your help. And so we're asking for that help. In Christ's name, amen.